for an adult audience. Love Line may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Love Line with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician. Addiction medicines. Blah, blah, blah. Drew's tired, boy.
How'd you know?
I heard you complaining about it when I came in, but I also knew that you had to get up at 3 a.m. This morning. Although, Drew, Dr. Drew claims to go to bed by 12:30.
12:40.
He used to claim 12:30.
Yeah, 12:40.
Here was the math that I would do with Dr. Drew, though he stood by his 12:30 guns, which is, the show ends at midnight, although not really, because I'm usually yammering until about 12:01.
That's
screws 45
me up. That's
50
what screws
seconds.
Me up completely,
yeah.
Right there.
I mean, we go a minute and a half to 2 minutes after midnight every night.
Yeah.
Drew lives and has lived a solid, well, with no traffic, and there's not too much at the time we're traveling.
22 minutes.
What seems to be 20 minutes and change.
Yeah.
22. Normal driver. Well, my dad would still be driving on his first commute, his first night here. He would actually still be on the road.
Yeah.
When they settled the west and the wagon trains would leave the east, that's how long it would take for my dad to still be on the road. But Drew drives like a maniac, and rightfully so. He's a doctor. Mm-hmm. He can get there about 22, 23 minutes. Now, I'm still doing that math, which is, that puts us about 12:25, possibly 12:26. Drew stood by his guns that he is asleep at 12:30.
Mm.
How do you have time to beat off?
Don't do that.
Floss.
Don't do that.
Brush.
Brush. Brush. And
number two?
No, brush
no.
pee.
Right,
drink,
number
we
one?
Say you're drinking coffee all the time.
Right, right.
And then dive into bed. And what I told you was, I go out around 12:30. I don't remember hitting the bed at night. I cannot remember hitting the bed. I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy, isn't it?
Oh, lucky.
Now, well, the reason it's 12:40 now is I let the dogs out at night now.
Uh-huh.
So it's 5 minutes with the dogs.
All right. But the fact that at least you can get to bed in the 12s when you got to do these crazy hour things is a plus. Because
oh, yeah. I know. As God is my witness, I rarely see 12:50. I mean, that would be like something a weird night.
Now I don't see 12:50 because I'm not by clock. I'm in the bathroom where I'm pouring myself another glass of wine. But here's the thing, when you got to do these ungodly things, like when we got to leave for LAX, catch a 7 a.m. flight somewhere, and the car's picking you up at 5:15 and stuff.
Yeah.
My minimum is 2 a.m.
Yeah.
So if I got to do Stern or
that's
something
bad.
Like that, it's at 2 a.m. to 3:15.
Yeah.
It's at 2 a.m. to whatever. That's my jumping off point. And so what? Listen, you go to bed at 12:30 and you get up at 4 o'clock, or you go to bed at 2 and you get up at 4 o'clock.
Right,
you're still effed.
Yeah.
You're effed, but it is 100% more sleep almost, or 75%, depending on how you whack it up. It's a difference between effed and then the penis turning in your A. Or just a straight effing. I get the turning. I get the barbed penis with the twist. But anyway, Drew goes to bed at 12:40. Gets up at 3:15.
Today, the car took me out of there at 3:20.
3:20, the car takes him out.
3:20.
And got to do Good Morning America.
Yeah. So that, hey, this is the beauty
from
of television.
From the satellite place.
Satellites. Thank God I didn't have to go to New York. But here's the beauty of television. So we want you there at 4. Because we think we're going to air it. It's scheduled right now for 7:37. But we think we might put it on at 7:02.
Yeah.
Okay. So 7. So I get there at 5 minutes to 7 or whatever. 4:45. Put makeup on. Sitting there. And what do you guys think? 7 o'clock? No. 7:30? No. 8 o'clock? 8:15.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
So that's sitting there for an hour and a half.
I know. That's all TV is. And the good news is you don't remember any of it.
Which
is good because it's like one of those phone calls you get in the middle of the night, you can be completely lucid.
That's absolutely true.
It's like your phone could ring at 4:30 in the morning. You'd pick up the phone. Hello? were you sleeping, dude? No. Well, what's going on? Listen, I hate to bother you, but I got some problems. You could talk somebody through a suicide You know, divorce, a suicide attempt, drug addiction. Talk for an hour and 15 minutes, hang the phone up, wake up next morning, has some sort of vague recollection. Didn't Rick call? I think I had a dream.
Yeah, I had a dream about it. Yeah, that's what it feels like.
You can get up, put makeup on, sit in front of a camera, answer questions, do a whole satellite media tour, get back, go back to bed as the sun's coming up, wake up at 9:30 in the morning and be like, wonder what happened. Wait a minute, I'm wearing black socks and there's makeup all over the pillow. I wonder what happened. Maybe I banged a transvestite. What happened? You become like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You go out in town, you kill people. Yeah, you come back, there's flesh under your fingernails. You're not sure. But you know, something bad. Something horrible must
have
happened.
You don't feel right.
That's right. All right, so Drew got up at the crack of S and... went out and did his thing on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
And how was that?
It's good. It's good.
It's good?
It's actually good, yeah.
All right.
I like Diane.
All right. Diane. Who's that? Diane Sawyer?
Yeah.
She's good people?
Yeah, good.
She knows who you are?
As of today, I guess, yeah.
All right.
Although she didn't actually see me. She went Saturday.
What'd you speak on? What'd they want you for?
They, Mel Gibson did an interview with her on Sunday night, or Monday.
Mm-hmm.
What day is it? That's the other thing about
being
up late. Talking about this new movie about Jesus Christ that he made, and he was talking a lot about his addiction, and he was apparently a severe addict.
Mm-hmm.
And people are speculating that some of this new sort of spiritual preoccupation is the result of his recovery.
Shocking.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, that's the other thing too. When people become addicts, they like to kind of mix it up with a lot of stuff. Like I talked to him. I mean, I heard him. I heard him talking to Diane Sawyer. I heard a clip or whatever. Yeah. They always do this thing. They go, listen, man. I mean, you name it. I'm into it. Drugs, coffee, cigarettes, whatever, computer games. You know, they always sort of pad it down with three or four. It was really the heroin.
Right.
That was the real problem.
That's right.
That's the problem. The diet soda, the TiVo, the computer games.
True.
The coffee, all things, even cigarettes, all things you could have lived 50 years with.
Yeah.
It was really the heroin that we need to focus on. But it's always funny when people sort of package it.
Yeah.
It's
spinning. They're spinning it.
Yeah, they're spinning it, but the thing, they're spinning it in a way that's truthful, which ends up being, in a way, it's sort of worse.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever goes, look, I had a problem with speed. A serious problem with speed. They go, hey, man, you put it in front of me, I'd do it. And I was that way with, I was that way with cars, I was that way with coffee, I was that way with women, I was a heroin, I was that way with diet soda, you know, video games, you know, they just sort of stuff it in front of everything. And
sort of stop with studying and working. And,
yeah, I know.
Although sometimes that gets in their
shirt. You end up thinking, oh, this guy's just a liver of life.
Yeah.
He was a passionate, passionate man like Dr. Drew. No, he was a junkie.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So anyway, it was interesting.
All right, good time. So he shed a little light on that. Yeah. Now he's a crazy zealot religious.
I'm not sure if he is.
Oh, he's nutty with it. I mean, it doesn't come in a nutty package.
Most
religious guys have like such a whacked out comb over. It's hard to get past
the
religious
zealotry. I'm not sure he's not a book thumper. You know what I mean? He's not preaching.
No, but he's telling you, look. My God told me, God makes the bed in the morning for me when I get up, you know?
You know what that means?
What?
It means really severe. He was way down the road.
Yeah. Well, that's when you find your salvation. You got to bottom out.
You need that much, too.
You don't find Jesus when you're celebrating after a Super Bowl victory. You got to bottom out. He's in jail.
But, right.
He's not at the penthouse at the Ritz-Carlton.
No. Or if he was, he was doing good stuff.
If he is, and maybe he doesn't. God needs a publicist. Got to get on that list. All right. So anyway, God bless Mel Gibson.
he's kind of one of my heroes, too. I like him.
Oh, yeah. But look, what's going on? I was saying to Kimmel today, you got Schwarzenegger running California. Mel Gibson has found Jesus Christ.
Who's going to screw up?
No, where's the action, guys? Where are they? All we got is that damn Vin Diesel. He's not worth anything. Someone's going to have to step up.
You're right.
Van Damme's getting a little long in the tooth. God knows Seagal packed on a little weight. Ponytail's not looking as good as it used to.
You're right.
You know what I mean? Like, somebody's going to have to step up. And I don't want the sensitive Ben Affleck type either.
Rock.
Yeah, I want The Rock.
Yeah, that's who it's going to be.
All right. We look forward to that. Jennifer?
Yeah, I think time is over.
It really just begun with him. Go ahead, Jennifer. You're 21.
Okay. I'm a lesbian. And I have pretty much known since I was about 9 or 10 years old. And I was talking to a friend of mine a few months ago, and she told me that something may have happened when I was much younger. Like, I may have been sexually abused by my father or something like that.
You're a lesbian. True place.
Yeah.
Or not.
I don't really remember anything like that happening.
Well, why, she was just saying that based on the fact that you were a lesbian?
Yeah. And, okay. and the fact that I've known since I was so young. And she said that pretty much you can't base an opinion on what your sexuality is when you're that young. So something must have happened to trigger something.
That's not true.
As much as I'd like to go along with that, no.
Yeah, I agree. It's not true.
Most gay and lesbian folk who weren't the subject of any abuse or anything, just say they felt different when they were 9 and 10.
And some clearly knew there was something, some attraction.
Well, I had my first experience with a woman when I was 9.
Oh, that's sexual abuse. that is what she's talking about.
Even before that, I mean, I guess I was just...
So that's what I was going to tell you is, you can tell whether there's been some abuse by how you conduct yourself in relationships. If you just are attracted to women and you dated monogamously and you had stable relationships, then okay, that's it. You're just wired that way. But you're at 9, you find an abusive criminal to act out on you sexually, you know, a child abuser.
It wasn't somebody that was older. It was somebody that was my own age.
I experimented
with.
All right.
So you went after her.
No, I was going to say it was the other way around, but I mean, she was my own age. It wasn't like an adult doing it to me.
Child on child sexual abuse is a very common form of sexual abuse as well, and it occurs when a child first been physically or sexually abused adult.
Nothing.
Oh, good.
Nothing.
But thank you.
One
of you had been sexually abused.
You always do this, but no way. Sometimes, but not that often.
It would be like I would
kids
go the opposite.
Kids go at it all the time.
You
don't know what they were doing. But listen, Jennifer.
Yeah. Well, but then at the same time, it was...
Is there something weird about talking to Jennifer?
The cadence? Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little...
It takes her a second to start.
Is that what it is?
Well, in any case... Yeah, but...
Yeah, like you wouldn't want to enter a three-legged race with Jennifer.
No. Well, I just wouldn't. You wouldn't want her to be pushing the sled that your coach was using the ball to activate the offense. Yeah. She'd be the one that would hang back.
Yeah, that's yesterday's analogy. Right. Jennifer, listen to me because I'm going to continuously speak so that we do not run into this problem again. Okay. Listen, you are 21. You like women. I agree with Drew that if you are not having chaos in your current relationships, then it is academic. You can go ahead and enjoy your lesbian life, okay? And the fact that you were screwing, which came first, the chicken or the egg? You were screwing around with a chick at 9, she was 9, it's much different. If you told me she was 39, we'd go, ho, ho, ho. And if you said that she forced it on you, it might be another thing. But the fact that it was sort of mutual, you're both 9, I don't know all the details of what you guys did. And this does depend on how nasty it got, how graphic and how sexual it got. If you're comfortable with being a lesbian, fine. Are you able to have a relationship that's consistent?
No, I mean, I'm deathly terrified of relationships, so...
Right, that's a bad sign.
That's not a good sign. Have you ever had a girlfriend?
Not one that was... I mean, I've had... Obviously, I've been with one before, but I've never been able to find one that...
Do you have lots of physical pain where doctors can't quite figure out what's going on with you?
Not really.
So you know, you're not going to doctors all the time with pain complaints and headaches and abdominal pain?
No. I mean, when I was 12, I had it happened a few times, but my father abused me. And so, like, I have really bad back problems from that and stuff like that, just from some of the events that occurred and jaw problems. Other than that, I mean, I really don't have any kind of physical problems.
Physical abuse. Back problems from your dad abusing you? Like, did he, like, blindside you like a blitzing linebacker when you're at the refrigerator or something?
No. I mean, I was laying on the floor on my stomach, and I kind of pushed up with my arms. And so, I mean, I was kind of... you know, I mean, just my legs were all on the floor and everything, but my back was arched up, and he basically took my head and put it against the back of my heels. So, I mean, my body was going in the exactly opposite position that it should have been. Wow. And so, I mean, I have, like, really bad back problems from that now.
Okay, hold on. I got to talk to Drew. Okay, this is, all right,
this
she's
is,
nuts.
Yeah,
she's
bad nutty. Times. Bad times.
Bad times and nutty and abuse and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. All right, Jennifer, therapy. Get some therapy.
Mental health
Tons
services.
Of therapy.
Really?
I mean,
you're a trauma
just
survivor.
Just do it. You got to do the therapy. But look, anyone who has back problems under the age of 30 who wasn't on the rodeo circuit or the motocross circuit, go to therapy. Or wasn't a horrible
you don't mean
construction
physical
accident.
Therapy.
No, go to mental therapy.
Well, she was nearly affects, you know, reproduction of a construction accident with the way her dad twisted.
Maybe I'm just being an a-hole, but I swear to you, I did everything you could do to myself before the age of 20 and have no back problems. You know, I mean, I played 10 years of football and jammed my head into a million things and effed my back up 1,000 times. I'm fine. I mean, kids, I don't know if you can screw up a kid's back at age 12 unless you drop an anvil on them or something. You know what I mean? I'm not excusing what your dad did. I would bet there's no physical problem with your back.
It is exactly what I was saying, that she's having what's called somatoform disorder. Yes. Her body,
Drew, you hit it.
Her body is the only way she has to tell her tale of woe.
Drew is right. Go to a therapist, not a physical therapist. Chevelle?
Huh?
You're 17?
Oh, yeah. Well,
as if you didn't know, Adam.
What?
Huh? What?
Okay.
Oh, whatever. All right. What's up?
Hi.
Okay, hi.
I've called in before, and I want to tell you guys thank you because you guys helped me with, like, some problems.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We probably bet on your voice, I bet.
Huh? Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My question is, a while ago you guys were talking about fetishes.
Yeah.
And, like, I have a fetish, I think, and I want to know, like, what it's caused by. If like, different fetishes for different things are caused by different things.
Mm-hmm.
I have a hand fetish.
Well, nobody really, truly, definitively knows what fetishes are
hand from. Hand fetish can be too much exposure to sock puppets as a young child, you know?
Yes, yes.
No.
Cupola Fran and all. No?
No, that didn't happen to Chevelle, huh?
No.
How dare you? How dare you, Adam?
You don't feel you're overexposed to sock puppets growing up, that it was just a sort of normal, healthy amount of sock puppetry that went on?
I never really played with sock puppets.
Deprivation.
Traumatized by the Addams Family.
Yeah.
Huh? Oh,
thing. Remember?
Oh, the hand. Yeah, thing. That's right. Hey, hey, Chevelle, what do you mean? What do you do? You like a guy with nice hands?
Yeah, it turns me on. I don't know why.
All right. Well,
just that.
That doesn't mean that you have a fetish.
I know, but I get horny when I see, like, nice hands. I just, like, I don't know why. Yeah.
Chicks do. By the way, hands and feet, selling point for women.
Really? What makes a nice hand, Chevelle?
Huh? I don't know.
Three aces, like king high or something.
No, like, I don't know. Like, big knuckles are.
Adam, that's you're there.
I like big knuckles, and I don't know why. I just don't know what triggers it.
Well, again, there's all various theories about why this happens, but basically it's focusing arousal on symbols or objects as a way of distancing yourself from trauma and feelings that might be activated by the potential of a physical intimacy.
All right. Chevelle,
mm-hmm.
How's everything going in your life beside the hand thing?
Okay, it's it's better.
All right, are you going to high school?
Yeah.
Where do you live?
In Visalia, like a half hour away from Fresno.
No, but do you live like in your parents' house or in a boarding care?
Before I called you guys about my parents and stuff, and so afterwards I called social services and they put me into a foster home.
Great. Nice.
Excellent. Yeah.
All right. And plenty of young hands to look at in that foster home.
Hand.
Now be careful.
Okay.
I don't trust those other kids in the foster home.
And their hands.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'd be on the business end of one of those knuckle busters and a vigorous finger blasting session by some young delinquent. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Is there any worse idea than just taking kids who've been physically, sexually abused to the point where they have to be taken away from their abusive parents, taken out of the house, and then just putting them all under one big roof together?
Yeah, what's the logic?
Let the debauchery begin.
Yeah, antics ensue.
Yeah, if we give enough,
a movie here, Adam.
If we give enough love.
Get Adam Sandler in the
We shower them enough love. Once they know they're loved.
You know, the only time that kind of thing was actually portrayed on film was when Woody Allen, remember that film he did that was a musical, and they bring the criminal into the house, they're reforming him.
Bullets Over Broadway.
Bullets, and he ends up stealing everything and screwing the women. And,
Yeah. So anyway,
shower them with love.
Don't act out. Listen to what everyone older than you has
she
to
is.
Say
She's
unless
sure.
they want to have sex with you.
Then
the answer is no.
Then you don't listen.
So the answer is yes to everyone older than you, except for the sex.
Right.
And the answer is no.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's the way to go. In fact,
everybody.
That's the Corolla corollary.
All you guys got to do.
Corolla
all you got to do to stay out of trouble.
Yeah.
I don't care if the person's 3 days older than you. They give you some advice, you listen. You want to have sex? Answer no.
For that matter, the ones that are younger, too. No sex.
All right,
younger.
Old, no, it's maybe.
Maybe.
Younger's a maybe.
I got to take a break.
Kyle? Or Kylie?
Hey, Adam.
Was that Kyle?
Yeah, it's Kyle.
Yeah, what's happening, Kyle?
Adam, man, first I want to say you are my idol. Man.
Whatever.
You are
Thanks,
so
buddy.
Cool.
Well, listen. Yeah.
You should write a book about your life. I would buy it.
I'm right thinking away. About it.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the things that makes me cool is not writing books. So I go to the symphony. And listen, Kyle, you can watch that Crank Yankers tonight at 10:30.
Yeah. 10:30,
cool.
Definitely.
Yeah, Comedy Central. Yeah,
keep the sound down.
Yeah, keep the sound down. Keep this radio show on.
There you go.
A TiVo, the Crank Yankers. They've got the new season coming out.
Yeah.
All right, you have a Germany or Florida for us, yes?
Yeah, okay.
All right, you give it to us, and then we'll take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do either Germany or Florida. Go ahead.
Okay, so this guy was skinny dipping in a lake or a pond or something, and then his penis got bitten off by a turtle.
Snapping turtle.
Snapper.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he wouldn't let the people take him away to the hospital until they found his penis.
Okay, hold on a second. Hold on.
Guys, they're going to erect a statue in this guy's honor.
Yeah. He has the luck of a Floridian, but the tenacity of a German.
Yes.
It's going to be tough. We'll take a break. And by the way, snapping turtles, one of the freakier animals in God's kingdom.
Yeah.
You don't really get much credit for it, but you see those big snapping turtles. You put like a, you know, 2-inch thick tree branch in front of its mouth, it snaps it right in half.
Really?
Oh yeah.
Well, they're in Florida, right?
I take your finger right off. They are in Florida, yeah. They might have a few German snapping turtles. All right, we'll get back for the answer to this and many other questions after this.
Germany or Florida? It's Germany or Florida?
Hey, yo, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191er.
Nice.
All right. I'm good now, buddy. Let's rock. You want to rock?
Yeah, let's go. You got to carry it a little bit, though.
We need to rock.
Let's go.
All right. True story.
Germany or Florida?
Germany or Florida?
Snapping turtle penis.
Yes.
All right.
All right. Kyle.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the question is, are there snapping turtles in Germany?
The guy got his penis bit off by snapping turtle, which I sort of question a little bit.
Whether that could really happen?
Yeah, I just don't think the snapping turtle goes after the dork, but maybe it does. Snaps the penis off. And then he refuses to go to the hospital until they find the penis.
The penis or the snapping turtle?
The penis.
The penis. What's he,
so what they're
what score
they're,
to settle with the turtle?
Well, that's going to say they got to dissect the turtle. Do you swallow the penis? They got to.
Did they find the turtle and the penis before they went?
No. Lake was, I guess, real murky or something. But I mean, it'd be pretty hard to find your penis in a lake once it got bitten off.
Well,
too.
I know. Don't get
not
carried away. Penis. Yeah,
Kyle.
I don't know.
Yeah, my penis would stick out like a periscope.
And then start looking around.
Start looking around. Spotting that merchant marine ship. All right. SS Vagina floating by. Got to sink over the torpedo. Okay, we're going Florida.
Yep.
Yeah, you're right.
No.
Yeah, thank you, buddy. Here's the whole thing about Germany or Florida. When you start working in indigenous creatures.
Yeah, or trees or, you know.
Yeah.
If he says something happened in the Everglades, we're not going Germany.
Yeah, Everglades or the Autobahn. That's a tip. That tip us off, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And let me say something about the auto goddamn bond for a second, by the way, tonight as I was...
I've been on the Autobahn.
Oh, really?
That is an... I think of it all the time when I'm driving my car. Why couldn't we have something like that here?
Well, we don't have any Hitler. That's Hitler's highway.
Yeah.
Hitler thought of that.
Yeah.
Not all bad. I would say Hitler, not a great guy, not gonna defend the man, but... Came up with the Autobahn concept, so you got to give him a little something. I'm just saying, give him a little something for the Autobahn.
Props.
Give him some props. It decided it would be a good idea if people go 130 miles an hour. And here's the thing: build the road, and they will come. Meaning, maybe it's not a coincidence that Germany is home of the turbo Porsche.
Oh yeah,
you know what I mean? It's like we tell people, hey, auto manufacturers, we got a road here 55. That's the max. We get the Chevette. We get cars that barely make it to 55.
Right.
We get a bunch of crappy Pontiacs, a bunch of, let's see, look, it doesn't matter. Just as long as a car can go 56 miles an hour, we're cool. Someone just stick on another hood scoop that doesn't work and a stupid decal of a Firehawk on the roof.
Huh.
Oh, I got it. The Germans over there, they're trying to figure out a way to get a couple more pounds of boost out of the turbocharger. We're trying to figure out a way to upholster the outside of the roof. That's really what it is.
It's a breakthrough.
Our scientists in 1978 are going, how can we get padding on the roof of the car? While they're trying to figure out ways to shave a couple of ounces of unsprung weight by going to a forged rim as opposed to a steel rim. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's okay. They built the road, and then they built the cars that worked on the road, that exploited the road. Think about that.
That makes sense, yeah.
Well, what
happened in Italy then? Why do they do it? You know, Italy.
Because
they're no
passionate roads. Italian people.
So even without the roads to drive the car,
yes, they have great passion. Those people,
yes. And those cars are more about the sound and the look, anyway.
Right? Yeah, although you know they go pretty good. But okay, but the point is on the Autobahn, less fatalities per million miles traveled than L.A. or the United States, traveling at a much lesser rate of speed. So, there again, another great argument for people to pick it up just a little bit. Tonight, driving here, sitting on a small street that led onto Wilshire Boulevard, nothing. Like, they stopped it because, like, they're going to have a parade the next day. Or it was like the marathon route was going through there. And there's nothing. I'm just sitting there. And, of course, I got this one. This is what always happens to me. I honk through cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Let me tell you.
I like that guy.
Let me tell you what a good NFL linebacker will do. Good NFL linebacker, and you see it with Ray Lewis and Lawrence Taylor and these guys used to do this. Running back comes through the hole. Fullback is leading through the hole.
Yeah.
This guy takes them both out.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't try to slip around the fullback and dodge him and do it. He plows into the fullback so hard it shoves. Takes them both out.
Yep.
That's a mean linebacker. That's how I drive. I use my horn. Like Ray Lewis uses.
You're doing a favor to everyone else in line.
I honk through.
That's good.
So I'm sitting there. The light is red, but in California, you can turn right on it. There's no cars anywhere. Everyone's got their blinker on, so they're turning right. And I'm sitting there, and there's a Honda in front of me, and we're not going anywhere. So I get on the horn. Nothing. Then I get, now I'm leaning on it. I'm just sitting on it. Now the guy who's ahead of me has got to be thinking, well, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
This guy's not turning. What I need you to do is honk at the guy who's not turning for me.
Right.
Although I'm sure the guy...
With you.
The guy in front of me can hear it too, but he must be confused. Why is the guy two cars back honking at me? Now, we just sit there, and we sit there, and it's a small street that runs into a big street, so it's not going anywhere. They just sit there, sit there. And after honking for, you know, what's, you know, I'm on my fifth good long lean on the horn, and I'm thinking, what do they think I am? Some escaped mental patient or something? Who am I honking at? Like, are they think there's smoke coming from the car?
Yeah.
Or the chupacabras on the roof tearing into it or something? Like, I always want to know, like, here's what I want to do. I want to, like, stop time, get out of the car, and walk over the window and go,
excuse me.
I'm conducting a social experiment. What is going through your mind right now? What do you think? Do you think, I mean, is it A, this guy's a prick, he's got to pay? B, I'm confused. C, I don't hear anything. D, why, you know, why is he honking? I don't know, you know. And if and you're not turning when it's perfectly legal to turn, you must be thinking, well, I can't turn.
Yeah.
There's a reason why I'm not. Anyway, I just sit there honking and nothing. Yeah. And then eventually the signal turns and they just turn.
Oh.
Now, here's all I'm saying. I want a citizen's arrest. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We got to get the word out. We got to get the word out to shake your ass in this goddamn town. Get the word out. The word should get out. That is the word. Enough with these goddamn PSAs about secondhand smoke. Enough with all the discussions about everything but move your ass. It's always about slow down, look left, look right, look left again. Look out for Caltrans, guys. Be careful. Back up. No jackrabbit starts. Don't do those jackrabbit. God forbid you do a jackrabbit start. Why not a jackrabbit start? Anything wrong with moving? And by the way, why all of a sudden when it comes to cars, we got to frown on people shaking their ass and moving a little bit? This whole country is like founded on, hey, this guy's a mover and shaker. Hey, you're talking about Bill Johnson. He gets things done. He makes things happen now. You know, he's up early, goes to bed late. You want something? He's a guy who gets something done. We built this country on the ability to shake your ass. We get to the moon first. We build the highest skyscrapers. We do it in record time. You know, they didn't think the Golden Gate Bridge could come in under time and under budget, but we did it. We showed them. What about that mentality when you get behind the wheel? Why all of a sudden when you, hey, take a Quaalude, mellow out. Slow down. There's no rush. They call it rush hour. We're in a rush. Let's go. Start going. And how about some tickets? And how about just a general campaign? And oh boy, you better do it in about 30 languages in this city. Turn right when it's red. It's legal. Go. Mike Schnell. All right. Undelay. Arriba. Right? I got to find Korean. Believe work it hard in the Korean. Drive through Koreatown. Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Rob.
And hold on a second. I'm a prick because I'm honking the horn. You're not a prick because I'm sitting out here waiting to get carjacked and having a little urine trickle down my leg because I can't get to work. No, I'll just sit. Oh, here's what. I will join you in your slathery. Did I make that word up?
Yes.
Thank you. People know what it means. And as I have said, man, I was yelling this at my mom the other day. Look, I honked the horn. I'm a prick. But what if you were just walking down the sidewalk at a very slow clip,
or
doing a little window shopping, and I started to walk past you on the sidewalk, and you stuck your arm out? Oh, no. Where are you going?
Yeah.
Get behind.
Same thing.
I'm going to stop. Yeah, you stop too. Now I'm on your crappy, retarded metronome, the one that barely moves. That's the one I'm on now too? All right. We got to do something.
Yeah, but good times.
Yeah, but good times. Rob?
Yeah.
You're 24?
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, basically, I was dating a girl for 5 or 6 years, and during that time, she cheated on me and gave me genital warts. Well, now we're broken up, and I'm curious as to if or how I should bring up the fact that I do have, like, an STD.
Are the warts still visible?
Well, they kind of come and go. I guess I have it worse than most people. Like,
you get them? You treat them? Do you take?
I see a urologist, and he basically fries them off.
Freeze them.
Is there? By the way, Drew,
there's a cream called Aldera that might help you out a bit.
Yeah, nothing. I tried that.
You take that?
Work.
Okay.
Yeah.
Ends
What's
up
that?
Beating off.
Yeah.
It's how true. Much? How much cream could you rub around your genital area before it turned to a world class spank session? If you think about it, no 24-year-old guy's going to apply ointment around his genitalia.
It's about $30.
Yeah.
Well, it's four to five of the loogie.
you make rocks. You said you were starting to say something.
Oh, yeah. Is there anything, like now there's stuff you can do to suppress, like, herpes breakouts.
Yes.
No suppression thing for warts.
There will be a vaccine soon enough.
A vaccine?
Yeah.
No, what is that? That means you, but for those who are already exposed.
For those who already have it, the vaccine sometimes can reduce the outbreaks.
Yeah.
How about that?
But no pill you can take like...
No.
That's like going to...
No antiviral that will hit the wart virus.
Right. It's a virus. I mean, mm-hmm. the herpes is a virus too, right?
But it's
they can't isolate it. They can't figure it out.
It's really in the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It's herpes goes well beneath
that. Put something in your belly is not going to do anything because it's on your skin
Yeah, it's hard to get the stuff to the skin. The skin is not well vascularized.
Right. And there's just, here's the part that I find amazing. Just no way to kill it when it is on the skin. I mean, what I'm saying is what if you made a little dam around the area? You know what I mean? You just took some plastic and you bent it and used some dental putty or something. You just stuck it down and then you just filled that area with bleach. And you let it just sit there for 3 hours.
Well,
still not going to kill the wart virus?
Yeah, I don't know enough about the virology of that. But you got to remember, the entire penis is exposed.
Right.
And the viruses kind of pop out here and there. Mm-hmm. They're not just localized where the warts are. Although they can be and they can spread.
When is the wart virus antidote coming out or the vaccine?
I'd say within 3 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Trojan people got to be pissed about that.
No, that's good times.
But they're hoping for an AIDS renaissance?
They know Mother Nature will take care of them. There will be a new STI.
There's always going to be a reason.
Of course.
All right. We'll take ourselves a little break. We'll be right back. Yeah, buddy. Hey, Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Back to the phones we go. Going to speak to Atassa.
That's what it looks like.
All right. Atassa?
Hello?
You're 18?
Yeah.
What kind of name is Atassa?
That's what I wanted to know.
Be prepared.
It's Persian, and it's pronounced Atusa.
Atusa?
Yeah.
Wow.
All right. What's it mean? Does it mean anything?
It's the name of Winston Churchill's granddaughter, and it was a princess of Persia.
Princess of Persia?
Yeah.
Did it mean something?
No.
Well, Winston Churchill named his granddaughter
Atusa.
Yeah, it's also the name of Cosmo Girl's editor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Winston Churchill named, or he didn't name, but his son or daughter named their child Atusa?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
Atusa.
All right,
good times.
We got to look into this.
Yeah. Okay, so what's happening?
Sense, but all right. What's happening, baby doll?
When I have sex, like, partway through it, or if I change positions or something, I'll stop being lubricated just randomly. Even though I'm, like, still in the mood, like, it'll just stop.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking birth control pills?
I'm on Ortho-Evra.
Ortho-Evra. I'd have to look.
That's a birth control pill.
Do you have it handy by chance?
Huh?
Do you have it handy?
Maybe.
Can you tell me the name of the chemicals that are in there?
What? She's a scientist.
To get it.
Okay.
All right. So what? If it's in the pack, what can you do?
Well, I'm just wondering.
Break it down.
I'm just wondering if it has a strong
Bunsen burner.
No. I'm just wondering if it has a strong progesterone in it because that can dry you out.
Well, what will the pill say?
Here you go. You'll hear.
It says, where are the ingredients?
It'll say like ethanol estradiol.
On the pill or just on the pack?
In the pack. The pack.
Oh, okay. So I keep my pills loose.
No. You shouldn't do that.
I do. That's my thing.
This product is intended. No.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say.
It's great radio, Drew.
Yeah, I know.
Where's it going to say on the pack?
Oh, it says norelgestrelman.
Norgestrel?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Or norethindrone.
Estradiol and something with the T dermal system.
Yeah.
All right, what about it, Drew?
Oh, so you're using the patch?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's this is the
go ahead and pipe up with that.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Drew.
No, that it might
shouldn't
be doing it,
up?
But it wouldn't typically do that. Not my experience, but it's possible. That's what it is. Have you been on other pills, other contraceptives in the past?
Well, before I was on the Depo-Vera, and with my ex boyfriend, like I can go on for a while even if I wasn't in the mood, and I would still be lubricated. But
interesting. All right, in my experience, usually the progesterone is what dries women out. But in your case, that wouldn't happen. In fact, you would be less likely to dry out on the progesterone. Mm-hmm. And now you're taking a pill that has estrogen in it, and maybe the estrogen is drying you out, which is sort of the opposite of this is how strange women can be. They're each different and can respond differently to these products.
So you may
want to go back on the progesterone shot.
Well, how about you keep a little lube on the nightstand, too? You know, little water soluble lube.
Well, with the Depo-Vera, like, I would spot, like, every day. So it was kind of annoying.
How many shots did you take?
I probably went for about 6 months. I never went for anything longer because, like, I take it, like, two different sets.
All right. Okay.
How about you get some lube and use that if you need it?
Yeah, but it only lasts for so long.
The lube does.
Yeah,
well, you got to change your oil every 5,000-6,000 miles, too. I mean, eventually the viscosity breaks down. You've seen the Castrol commercials. The point is yeah, well, when you switch positions, what do you need? Another 10, 20 minutes of good humping?
Well, I don't know. Like, sometimes, like...
I know that was her phone, not ours.
Really?
Yeah.
That's everybody.
Okay. All right. I'm just missing the good part.
Yeah. Well,
sound like a hot Persian chick. And by the way, I don't know what it is, but there's something always strange about women who take charge of their sexuality to me. Like, they talk about, with my last lover, I was on the Depo Provila, and then I went ahead and got a estrogen boost. I mean, I had it adjusted,
it freaks you out a little bit,
I was with my second lover. It's always there's something
a little
sort
too
of
matter of fact.
I appreciate it, but then there's something sort of matter. There's something matter of fact and calculated and cold about it. But on the other hand, it's just she's a smart woman, obviously, who's sort of not that smart because you have trouble pronouncing what's going on the patch. But still, I get the feeling she's sharp. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. Let's keep rolling, Suzanne.
Hi there.
You're 26?
Yeah.
What's up?
So I have a husband. I've been married to him for about a year, close to a year. And he has a very, very strong addiction to these very graphic kind of Craigslist casual encounters,
What kind of casual encounter?
Like on Craigslist.
What?
On Craigslist.
We're supposed to know what that is?
It's like, one of these places where you can find jobs in certain cities, and they have, like, relationship section, and then they have a subset within the relationship section that's for...
Not that we want to plug the website, but I can't believe it's pronounced Craigslist.
Yeah, we can't even get what you said.
What is it called?
Craigslist? Like Craig's? Craig? Yeah.
Craigslist.
Craigslist. All right.
Whatever.
And, so he meets women on that.
Yes, this website is like a mecca for like having casual encounters.
I see.
And so you go on there and you like email him and you say,
"Hang on, Chris is taking notes here. He's writing it down. Got it. Got it, Chris. Yeah. Got it."
Okay. And he's he does this compulsively, and not only on that, but he goes on his on his cellular phone and goes on the sites that he finds on there, these new type of sites. And he's just compulsive.
Hold on. He goes on his cellular phone and finds new sites?
Does he meet women?
I don't have any conclusive proof that he's actually met them, but he definitely is sending pictures and...
And phone sex.
I guess, yeah, cyber sex.
Well,
phone sex.
Hold on a second. Sending pictures of himself?
Yeah.
To the ladies he's meeting?
Yeah, or the ones that he wants to meet or intends to meet, yeah.
And then yet you don't know that they actually
How did you find out about all this?
Well, I noticed when I would walk by him and he was on his computer, he would click down whatever he was working on, and I thought it was rather suspicious.
Yeah.
So,
guy's got a lot of huevos doing that right in the house,
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then I got on his computer one day when he was a little, sloppy and left it on.
Right.
And I just I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just horrible.
All right. Well, all right. You're fairly casual. I mean, it's one thing for the guy to peruse a little porn on the computer. It's another thing to be giving pictures and
interacting
back and forth. I mean,
exactly what I thought.
And like I said, you're sort of casual about the whole thing.
I've come to terms with it.
Is there something else about him we should know? Have you had to come to terms with other things about him before this one surfaced?
No. And the thing is that I don't understand is the reason why he's doing it. When I asked him, why are you doing this if it's offensive to me and if it doesn't respect our marriage and our relationship and it hurts me, why are you doing this? And he said that he is trying to find out what I am going to do to him, which I find, you know, completely, you know, BS.
Here's the deal. He's strung out on drugs. I guarantee it.
Really?
I guarantee it. That is the most bizarre, lame, ridiculous, and, you know, he can't even muster a good excuse, a good lie. He's doing bizarre, compulsive, sexually addictive behaviors. Right. We got to talk some more to her.
I'm gassy tonight.
That's good. That's great.
There's no smell to it.
Suzanne, hold on a second, okay?
Yeah. We'll get to the bottom of this.
I guarantee there's something else going on here.
Okay.
Guaranteed.
All right. Yeah. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Something I was talking about today to some guys at the office. I mentioned it on the air. I don't know when. A few nights back. I can't remember. But I don't think you were here, Drew.
Okay.
Tell me if you were. But I was thinking about the eye patch. We're talking about the eye patch.
It's come up a few times.
And how there's a huge chasm between the two types of eye patches. Like the one eye patch, the black silk one, that's the guy's on the French Riviera.
Right.
And he's wearing the white dinner jacket.
Yes.
And he's smoking the European cigarette.
Right.
He has a, you know, $7,000 watch, and he's got a couple of hot chicks with him.
He's a secret agent.
He's a man about town.
Yeah.
He's a millionaire playboy. The other eye patch is the flesh-colored adhesive one.
Yeah.
That's the homeless junkie who got a bad load from a John and gave him a little hepatitis C or staph infection in his eye when he's trying to blow a guy to make 15 bucks to get a little packet of crack.
Nice.
Easy little gauze peeking through there. Yeah. And I was thinking to myself, two huge chasms in eyewear.
Yeah.
You know, the two patches. And then I thought, you know, if you were a girl, that'd be a tough coin to flip. Like, you're getting a date with the eye patch guy. And you're either going to get the guy who's Rex Dexler, who pulls the cigarette boat up to the shore, throws the keys to the valet, and then hops in the Ferrari and heads up the hill into Monaco. Or you're getting the weird homeless guy who's going to hit you with a little fortified wine and a light raping. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, and you're a desperate single girl. Do you spin that wheel, Drew?
Yeah.
You do.
You go for it.
You go for it.
Yeah.
Even though you could get the flesh-colored adhesive patch guy with just a little gauze poking through the bottom edge. And this is the one where the doctor says once every 3 weeks at the clinic, by the way, or county USC, the county hospital, let's have a look-see at it. Starts to peel it back, makes the initial face, and then catches himself. Okay. All right. And then immediately shoves it back again.
Been there.
Because he's going to heave.
Yeah.
You been there, Drew?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I always like that. Let's have a look-see. Let's have a look-see at the festering wound. Mm-hmm. And you peel the patch back, and it's just like, roaches, maggots crawling around in there?
You get the idea. You figure it. I know. I get it.
And your face will show for just a millisecond. Yeah. You'll get that face, right?
Yeah.
That I'm going to hurl?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm a doctor, but I'm a human first, and then I'm disgusted at this. And then you put your game face back on, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, stay with the drops and stay on direct sunlight. Come back and check me. Is that what happens?
Yeah.
What happens to the eye? They get infections and
usually you're talking about people that have been enucleated. The eye's gone.
Eye's gone.
Yeah.
That could be another thing. Lost the eye. Like a guy got stabbed with a number 2 pencil when he fought with another bum.
Back to the homeless
Yeah, a bad
blow
load.
Job, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm saying, now your sister's single.
Yeah.
She needs a date badly.
It's bad time.
She could be going out with the Barclay man.
Yeah.
Or she could get the bum with the festering eye.
Yeah.
It's both patch, guys.
Oh.
Huh? Tough choice, huh?
Yeah.
Has there ever been a greater chasm between two things, like a watch or cufflinks? No.
No. Eye patch can go bad.
Eye patch. Nothing can go better, nothing can go further south.
Mm-hmm.
That's my argument.
I'm with you.
And I said, hey, bring up your underpants, bring up your spats, bring up your sock garters, your cufflinks and your earrings, any appointments. Nothing. Mm-mm. Hats, scarves, turtlenecks. Nothing can go further. Nothing has the potential to go further south or better or more right. You could never live up to the silk eye patch guy.
No.
This guy. He's like the bachelor from the Flying Nun. Who is this man of mystery? And a white dinner jacket.
Of course, always.
Carnation in the lapel. Suzanne?
Yes.
So,
this is the husband that we think may be addicted. Certainly he's addicted to the... He's porn addicted, and he's internet porn addicted, certainly. And the fact that he is that already puts him at risk for substance addiction. And then the sort of bizarre clandestine quality and the weird, sort of excuses, that all suggests more addiction to me, chemical addiction.
Why did you marry the guy?
Well, when I married him, I mean, he was phenomenal. I had no idea he behaved like this. In fact, he told me quite the opposite, saying, "Oh God, I'm completely not like that, and I'd never behave like that." Mm.
Let me explain one thing. Just a quick tip to everybody: people that are really good people rarely explain
anything.
How they're not bad people.
Right.
They don't think of it. It's like people when car salesmen go, "Look, can I be honest with you?" people that don't lie never say, "Can I be honest with you?" Because there's no other option. Like as if you weren't.
Yeah.
Hey, let me be honest with you. Can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
Can I be straight with you? Let me tell you, I get in a lot of trouble for saying this. Here's the thing. Was anyone in your family addicted to anything?
Your family of origin. Your parents, your family of origin.
No, uh-uh.
Hmm.
Where are you from?
No. Where am I from?
Where
I'm
are you from?
Chicago.
Where?
From Chicago.
Okay.
My husband's mother is an alcoholic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
helps.
That
helps. What's he do for a living?
He makes commercials.
He does. He's a producer?
No, he directs them.
Director. He's a director.
Yeah.
All right. I guess
And he was a complete gentleman. He behaves very properly except for this one very big deterrent, and I'm trying to, figure out if I should somehow salvage this,
I mean, try to get some help. If he's a smart guy and he's a willing guy and he loves you, and to try to get him some help
here's the angle, everybody, and whether it's the guy's looking at porn or whatever the guy's doing that you don't want him to do, if it's within reason. Okay, I mean, step number one: decide, is this really bad, or do I just feel like it's bad, or is it just making me feel bad because of something that happened in my childhood?
Right, right.
Okay, now we've established this is wrong. This is clearly wrong. This is not him looking at a Playboy while he's on the pot.
Right.
This is him having an interaction with other people. Next part is don't start chasing him. He'll go underground. You know what I mean? Don't come at him. He'll go underground.
It's not so much about the behavior you're seeing. It's about the whole syndrome.
You need to have a sit down with this guy saying, look, this is unacceptable for you as much as it is for me.
Right.
I mean, this is unhealthy behavior in a relationship.
Right.
I'm going to save you from yourself by not letting you beat off in front of strangers all day. So we need to talk about this. I don't care if you look at a little porn on the internet. And I'm not telling you, you have to turn your computer in. But we need to talk about the part where you're having a relationship with people.
Yeah.
You need to be honest with me. We need to assess this. And then there's going to be a little therapy after that.
Suzanne, why don't you hold on the line here? Brian, please keep her on hold. And I will give you a couple. She's not like, give her a couple of referrals.
Christine?
Yes.
You're 18?
Yes.
You say attracted to men 20 years older than her?
Yes.
Got that little girl voice.
Mm-hmm. Is there a reason for that?
I was actually, that's the reason why I'm calling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell us.
Well, ever since I was about 16, my first boyfriend was 8 years my senior. And the funny thing is that they're willing to have a relationship with me as well. So I don't know if it's just that I'm quote-unquote mature for my age.
Let me do a quick test. Because I'm a little confused, because she also sounds like a person of small stature.
Yeah.
Christine, you are a small person.
Yes.
Say more macaroni and cheese, please.
More macaroni and cheese, please.
Yeah, but no laughing, just a straight read and action.
More macaroni and cheese, please.
But do it with just a little bit of zest, like you're hungry and you want that scoop of macaroni and cheese and action.
Okay. More macaroni and cheese, please.
Ooh.
Was that good?
That's tough. Yeah, no, that was solid. She's sounds young, but then again, she goes, 5'2", 110.
Yeah, that's about right.
All right, so she's also small in stature. Never any abuse when you were younger?
No.
All right, everything's, you love your daddy?
Mm-hmm.
You do?
Yeah.
He was around?
Yeah, he's actually in the next room.
He paid attention to you?
Yes.
He's probably making macaroni and cheese right now. He's had a couple of beers. That kid wants macaroni and cheese.
We lost Suzanne there. I hope they didn't knock that
off. Drew, hold on a second. Please don't, react and yell at the screen that way. Just, who cares? Mm. If she's gone, she's gone. That's what I'm saying. All right. That was our last caller.
Okay.
Oh, just a point. Okay. You're going out with older guys, or you're attracted to older guys.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know, Drew. What about it?
18-year-old. Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Yes.
How'd that relationship go?
It went quite smoothly, but it's also because they're embarrassed that I'm so young. And also, throughout the relationship, they seem to be a little, I don't know, they never get quite used to the fact that I am only 18 or that I am so much younger than they are.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's, and I don't know why. Did your mom die?
No.
You sure? Go check on her. I got a bad feeling.
I don't quite know what to say. It's always problematic when people are in different stages of their life, and you're into guys that are much, much older than you, mm-hmm. who are not likely to they're likely to see you as an object.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact, this business that you're rationalizing, or at least buying their BS, that they can't get used to you being younger, it's more that they can't sort of come to terms with their guilt for having just exploited you.
Well, here's the thing, too. Oftentimes, now, look, when you're, when you're 27 and you're dating a guy who's 49, he may be looking to settle down. When you're 18 and you're dating a guy who's 33, he's having some kicks.
Yeah.
He's having a good time. And it's easy for him to date a younger woman. All the pressure's off. There's nothing serious about it.
But the pressure's on because he feels guilty. He's exploiting someone who's so much younger.
All right.
And that's why he keeps it around, and that's why he starts saying, I can't quite get used to you being younger. I don't think this is going to work out.
Saying he always has it in his hip pocket, this excuse that this thing's never going to work out.
Right, because they're
Women who only date guys that are married because ultimately they have an intimacy issue, and it's never going to work out. It's a nice relief for a guy in his late 20s, early 30s, who would, at this stage of life, having to start thinking about marriage.
Yeah.
And if this same guy hooked up with a 28-year-old chick, it'd be the screws, you mm-hmm. make it longer in a year, and people are starting to ask what's going on with you two.
You're right.
All the pressure's off. So you may be inherently attracting guys who aren't that interested in anything long-term anyway, and obviously they're immature.
Right.
All right. Stop it.
Yeah.
You love your dad. You sound very like you had your head screwed on straight. And believe me, there's stuff everyone's attracted to. And you just make the proclamation, this is what I like.
Yeah.
Look, everyone does that. But they're healthier choices. I mean, look, I want to eat ribs every single night. I want to eat, someone's going to make a rib breakfast cereal.
Oh.
Yeah. Finally, that Cajun flavor comes, that smokehouse flavor. And it's been making a few different styles. You make the Kansas City variety with sort of the dry rub. And you make the real smoky Texas kind with all the molasses. But listen, I'd like to eat ribs. I think I could eat barbecue maybe 3-4 meals a day.
Yeah.
Once in a while, you eat a can of tuna and a tomato because you just should. Go ahead. Feel free to do that if you're dating everybody.
Right.
Thank you. Thank you. Amber?
Yeah.
Barbecue sounds good right now, though, doesn't it?
I had a huge dinner. I'm fine.
Oh, you did?
I'm good.
I ate a bowl of cereal, so barbecue sounded good.
That's why the cereal came out of the mix.
Barbie. Oh, man. And then the milk starts turning to barbecue sauce.
Barbios.
You know, just drinking. You're just drinking it out of the... Yeah?
Yeah.
And it's great, too. Cause,
have like milk it, or barbecue sauce.
Instead of that, like the Trix Rabbit or the Cuckoo for Cocoa Pops, we have a morbidly obese, illiterate black man.
Or
wearing suspenders with one of them dangling down
his
shoulder.
You could do that. You could, or
yeah,
you could
that's go, the spokes
guy. You could really go the ethnic cartoon route and have the pig being chased by the rooster with the cleaver.
Yeah.
That would be good for cereal, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No.
No?
No. I like the morbidly obese black man with the third grade education. And we could still work in some good ethnic stereotyping. I think we could have our barbecue and eat it, too. Amber?
Yeah.
You're 18?
Yes.
Yeah.
What's up?
Okay, my question is, recently I've a lot been bleeding during sex, and I'm wondering why that is, basically.
So that has never happened before?
Not at all. We've been having sex for like 8 months. It didn't even happen like when we started dating at all.
Any chance you're pregnant?
No.
A new birth control pill or anything like that?
No. I've been taking the same birth control for over a year and a half now.
And how long has it been spotting?
I've had to like 3 to 4 months.
When was your last pap smear?
Oh, like last month.
And they didn't find anything?
No. Well, yeah, but it was not like pregnancy or anything like that.
What did they find?
I have HPV.
Okay.
That's warts.
Did they do a...
No, it's not. There's like 70 different strains of it. I have one of the other strains of it.
Yeah, it's all warts though. And is it did you get, did you
it
have...
It sounds better than warts, yeah, but it's all warts, right?
Yeah. It's all warts. You may actually cause a wart, but it's all the wart virus. HPV, it's all warts.
Well, okay.
But you don't break out with warts.
Right.
Okay, then you don't have to call it warts.
Did they have to do anything to your cervix?
I have to go back in for like the rest of it. Like I have to do the treatment and stuff for, cause basically the strain that I thought that at least what my gynecologist told me I have is the changes in the cervix and that causes cervical cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's the wart virus and that's the worst kind of wart virus. So I don't know what you're thinking. You don't have warts. You have it. You're contagious. Now look, you do. That's it. Period.
Right.
Now what kind of procedure do they do on you?
They haven't done anything yet, but I don't totally know what it's called.
Did you have a colposcopy?
I'm going in for that next month.
All right. Why are you waiting so long to do this?
Because I'm at school and I have to go back home, and I just found this out like last week.
All right. You need to take care of it right away. It may have something to do with this. It's possible.
All right. But this is, you got bigger fish to fry, right?
Yeah. There can be an instability of the lining of the uterus from the birth control pill or even just with sexual activity. Some people can get bleeding. Just because you've never had it doesn't mean it's abnormal and you have it now. Mm-hmm. But you know you have cervical disease and we don't know how bad it is. And if it's in the endocervical region inside the cervix, the little hole that goes up to the uterus, that's a pretty serious thing.
So. Wait a minute. Is that another one of those words that pisses me off, that endo versus...
endo is inside. And there's no endo.
There's endo.
There's ecto.
Ecto. That's in...
Out.
So there's...
An exo.
There's... wait a minute. Endo?
In.
Ecto?
Out.
Yeah. We got to get them further apart.
Okay. I was thinking about other languages don't have it quite... You know, in French...
Push and pull.
Well, no, French.
Spread them out.
French, push, pousser.
Right.
Pull, tirer.
Ah!
Eh?
Listen, I hate to side with the frogs, but they have a point here.
Uh-huh.
I have argued for years that push and pull should not start with the two letters that are, you know, matching. I mean, it's a ridiculous idea. I've whacked it.
It's English, though. It's just English. It's not everybody else.
Okay, good. Nothing more humiliating than hitting a diner on a Sunday morning, a crowded diner with the all-aluminum door and the aluminum door frame and the glass. And the one that usually makes it worse is the ones that has the bell Hang on. And by the way, everybody, with your bells and chimes swinging off the door, you don't know when someone's coming in your place to get something to eat. Is it? And by the way, it's always packed. Why is it? How do you? How's it? Okay. Point is you're coming in. You got some momentum. The thing says pull. You whack the thing.
It, yeah.
Smack it on the thing. It's that great aluminum on aluminum with the glass shaking, and then the bell, the residual bell thing. Everyone in the restaurant say, "Hey, jack off." Hey, look at jackass. Hey, look at retard girl over there. Can't read and walk at the same time. Fantastic. I say they both start with a PU. And PU, that stinks.
Fair enough.
I'm just saying, spread them out.
Maybe we should at least
push
make a press
and,
pull.
Push and yank. They shouldn't start with the same two letters.
We just need a new word for pull.
And that is the other one. That I'll tell you the one that really...
Tug.
Listen, okay, pull and tug. No, push and tug.
Yeah.
Yank is fine, too.
Yank's a little crass.
Okay. Some teenagers start beating off in front of the
right.
diner.
Some yank.
All right, push and tug.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, here's, tug could get bad, too. Well, go ahead.
Here's the other. The other one that the macro and micro is the other one that just really needs to be further
apart. How
about
inter and intra?
That's my third on my list. Nothing. There's nothing. You know my chasm between eye patches?
Yeah.
Even bigger between micro and macro.
Yeah.
Yes?
Yeah.
Micro means...
needs, tiniest.
Seen with an electron telescope, macro means the universe.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Differ by a letter.
The vowel! I'm going to take a little break here, but I'm angry.
A vowel.
It's just once in a while you hear guys. Every time someone's talking, they go, "Well, you gotta be able to listen. You gotta look at the macro picture." It's always like I have to stop and process for a second. No, wait a minute. Is it, we focus on a small thing, or we got to look at the big? And it's always a little confusion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I gotta take a break. Take a micro break.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline! Oh, yeah. I'm Adam. That's my partner, Dr. Drew, the love doctor. He's on the phone. He's talking to somebody. Somebody paged him. Any problems, Drew?
No.
Cool?
Yeah.
That wasn't your wife, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, for the love of Christ. She's doing a show.
Yeah.
Okay. Listen, Drew.
And my assumption is there's an emergency when somebody calls when I'm doing the show. And how can I assume otherwise? You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? I have no alternative.
Listen, if your wife calls during the 2 hours that this show is on the air, you should naturally assume that the house is on fire and that she's calling from the lawn.
And everybody's fine.
No.
No.
No. That there's been a dirty bomb exploded in your driveway.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's it. Yeah, she got none. And, all right, listen, a little backhand when you get home. That's all I'm saying. For her own good. Just to settle her. All right. Listen, Drew's wife. I'm not going to use your name on the air, but Susan, don't call during the show unless something's on fire. Sarah?
Yeah?
You're 20?
Uh-huh.
Or at least time the commercial, right? Drew's pager went off the second we came back there. Yeah. Sarah,
how
go ahead,
it.
Baby doll.
She can't control that.
You're
though.
20. Yeah. All right. Maybe she tried earlier.
Yeah.
What's up?
I'm about 4.5 months pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been having really odd dreams off and on.
Like what?
And like revolving around sex mainly.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Like what?
Like I had a dream that there was this duck-billed platypus in a river, and it turned into a guy, and he and I went off in the woods and had sex.
Mm.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah, kind of odd, you know? And I had a dream that I was in the woods and had sex with this elf, and this other elf came up and killed me because I was a human, and Jesus. How dare I have sex with this, you know, elf?
By the way, how dare you?
Yeah, I know. I feel ashamed, I do.
You've been watching Lord of the Rings, or, you know, here's the other thing, too.
And Crocodile Dundee.
You can't both. Listen to any Jethro Tull before you go to bed, or you'll have these bizarre... Elven country type dreams. All right,
that's fantastic.
All right, well,
wow,
good.
Yeah,
times.
Pregnancy is an altered. You know, it's a disease state. Basically, it's the ultimate sexually transmitted disease. And as you get, yeah, you like that. As you get more pregnant, you're going to have probably more sexual urges, and they may be more, you know, when you dream, they're more bizarre possible.
What the? Hey, you have a husband?
I'm engaged.
Oh, well, that's nice.
Oh yeah. Well, we're planning the wedding and everything, and trying to get a lot of all of that done. So I was thinking it may be just stress too, because we're trying.
Are you generally more sexually aroused now that you're pregnant, or at least the second trimester?
You know, I haven't really noticed a difference between, you know, when before I became pregnant and after I became pregnant.
And do you have a history of weird dreams growing, you know, forever?
I do. I mean, I've always had very strange dreams, but right, I haven't had sexual.
All right, that's because you're pregnant.
That's just fine.
Yeah.
And, you know, mazel tov. I was trying to think of
mazel tov.
What? Ooh, oh. Another fart go.
You have not lit a fart in like 2 years. I'm really kind of disappointed.
I do it at home.
Oh, okay.
You know why? Ever the since I pants. Started wearing pajamas yeah, to yeah. work, something dawned on me about 2-3 years ago. Why wear pants to work when you don't have to wear pants?
What am I wearing?
Yeah.
These are barely pajamas.
Drew's wearing underoos. Yeah. The feet are built in. The flaps hanging open in the back.
Yeah, yeah.
It's only a matter of time before I just come in with just a sock around my penis, like during the summer months. I'm already at the point where I'm literally coming here in pajamas. The only thing that's keeping me from getting into less than the pajamas, which is I got to have a pocket or two for the keys. But if I break down and get that fanny pack like I've been talking about, that suede fanny pack I've been eyeing for a few years, then I just start showing up. Actually, better plan.
That's a great look.
I show up in a diaper. I show up in a diaper with just a blanket draped around my back like a shawl. And that way, I don't have to wait for commercial breaks to go do my business. I just start peeing and crapping myself right here.
Yeah? I just wear togas.
I could go for that.
Yeah, let's do that.
There is a little boner factor.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
No, thanks. Let's not wear those. Oh, with the diaper, though. Diaper and toga.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. I would like a sort of tunic sort of thing. Or even, I'll tell you what I need. I need a terry cloth towel, but long, with a hole cut into it, like a poncho.
Yeah.
And
terry cloth poncho.
And two snaps on the side. And so what I do is, you know, the thing's like 8 feet long, but it's got a hole right in the middle.
Yeah.
I just snap my head through the hole. It drops down on each side of me, and I put the two snaps by my hips together.
Sure.
And then I'm done.
Yeah, good times.
All right. Let's talk to Will, who's 16. Will?
Hey.
What's happening, my man?
First off, Adam, for words that sound the same, there's immigrate and emigrate.
Oh, that's a good one. That's leaving, coming into a country versus exiting a country.
Okay, that is that is great. Yeah, that needs to be changed immediately.
Yeah,
people emigrating. Yeah, who the hell knows what he even said? And by the way, I didn't even know there was an emigrate.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I thought I was just hearing immigrate each time.
Yeah. Well, in this state, that is what you're hearing.
Yeah, I
people
know.
People only come into the state. Well,
they tunnel into the state, actually. but yeah, immigrate and emigrate, that's horrible.
Yeah.
It's worse than micro and macro.
It's in and exit. You can kind of remember that, but you can't hear the difference.
All right, and then there was intra and
inter. That's bad. That's
Now when intra is
within
within and inter
between.
All right. Keep going, Will. What's up?
All right. Well, I was wondering if a girl goes on the patch, if that makes her gain weight.
If yes, certainly could.
Oh.
Oh, dude, why?
Does anything for a girl not make her, not let her?
The progesterone, the mini-dose pills and the progesterone shot tends to not gain weight.
Huh.
But each woman is different. She's got to try what, you know, start with something and see what happens.
It's immigrate and emigrate?
Yeah.
What the? Listen, I didn't even know those were two. I just, you know.
You only hear immigrate in the States.
Well, here's the thing, though. You turn on the TV, you hear, Barbara Walters saying Kelly Ripper.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone's got their own spin on everything. I work with the guys who call sandwich a sandwich and stuff like that. So how the hell are you going to know when it's a different word or someone's just, you know, tripping on their tongue a little bit? Yes?
Yeah.
All right. What is his question?
Well, he's good.
He's cool?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go to five then. Joey?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
You're 26?
Yeah. I got a problem, man. My sexual stamina has gone down from when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And I've tried everything, you know, beating off before sex, using a condom. Mm-hmm. And it's gotten to a point sometimes where it's discouraging to me. And if it's discouraging to me, I could just imagine how my partner feels. You know what I mean?
Well, you don't know how your partner feels.
Is he complaining? Has he been complaining, Joey?
Well, yeah, I've heard some complaints that, you know, once she's barely getting into the mood and I'm already done, you know.
By the way, hold on. He and she could be a little further apart, too.
Yeah, it's true.
If you just start, you know, as long as we're on the topic.
As long as we're changing the language.
Yeah. All right. So how long have you been with this partner, Joey?
I've been with my partner for about 4 years now.
4 years.
And how long are you lasting?
Call her your girlfriend.
Huh?
Partner's like you guys are traveling in a patrol car together.
It also makes
Or you're gay.
Same sex as partner.
You're either gay or on patrol or possibly both, because a gay man is always on patrol.
No, I'm very straight. Very straight.
Okay.
And so, how long do you last?
Well, I don't know. I've never actually timed it, but you know, it's less than, I'd say probably 10 minutes. Sometimes I'm barely in a couple times, and
all right,
you know,
Drew. Okay. All right. Let me ask you this, Drew. Is there anything historically? Or from a nature standpoint, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is we try to look for sort of
evolutionary reasons,
motivation for people to be. And I was sort of thinking to myself, like, you no longer have to impress your woman, this partner you hook up with the first time, or the second time, or even the first 20 times. You have to sort of impress them, and then. As you guys stay together longer, it becomes more about procreation.
Right.
I mean, from a bizarre evolutionary nature kind of thing. I have theories.
Yeah.
I have theories that unattractive guys have huge dorks as an evolutionary thing. This is what gets them. This is how they're able to keep their genes going. The goofiest looking guy I know has got the biggest dork I know. See what I'm saying?
That's good.
It does break your heart when a really hot guy's got a huge penis.
That's not fair.
A bullet in his head, right? But when he has a macro penis instead of a micro penis. Okay. So do you think this just starts going that way as a guy? Like, here's the thing. What if he got with a new chick? I bet if he was with a new chick, it would go back to where it was. I mean, there would be a discomfort level.
He's going kind of the opposite direction of most. Most, you get a new chicken, and things are going to happen quicker.
Most. You're looking to impress.
But you're more aroused. Okay. You know, everyone is the ninja penis that you have.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
All right, so Joey.
You can pot him up there.
I don't know what to do. He's tried everything. What can we do?
You know.
He's got to start going down.
Yeah.
Joey.
Yeah.
You, go down on your woman?
I go everywhere.
All right.
Well, I go up, I go down.
That's probably what she's interested. That's probably more what she's interested in anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's funny that you say if I were to get with another girl, a new interest, I've even considered that theory that you know, maybe I if I were to get with someone else, like I'll last longer, I'll be more into it, but then at the same time it's like,
so for you, being more into it makes you last longer. So you're sort of casual and you don't have the eye of the tiger with your current girlfriend.
You think that's what it is?
Well, I'm wondering. Those were words that came out of your mouth, maybe this is 4 years and this thing's run its course.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you guys aren't married.
Yeah, no.
Why not?
We live together and everything.
Why aren't you married?
We're in those new age marriages where we just live together.
Yeah. All right, Jim.
Maybe this thing's run its course.
Choice sounds like Cheech from Cheech and Chong, too, which I find delightful. But listen, Joey, okay, here's what you do. Look, here's the thing. It's like a plumber when he comes to your house to clear your drain. You pay for drive time.
Yeah.
It's not like he shows up, clears the drain 20 minutes and leaves. Here's what I'm saying, and charge you for 20 minutes.
When you're going down, the clock's running.
You go down on a chick, you set the meter. Like in the old-time cabs, pow, you pull that flag down. You're on the clock. You understand?
So if he's feeling a little uncomfortable with the amount of time...
Get on down.
Spend more time down there.
Yeah, if you're only lasting 10 minutes when you're on a chick, start off with a nice 13, 15 minutes of vigorous oral, and now you got 25 minutes.
There you go.
All right.
It's good times.
No, no, good times.
Betsy?
Has never... I don't talk to Clayton.
Oh.
Clayton?
Yeah, hello. Yes.
Uh-oh.
I'm here.
No, I don't want to talk to Clayton. Clayton, you're 23. What's happening, buddy?
Yeah, I'm with a woman who's 29, and she has an 8-year-old daughter. And I've noticed that a theme on your show lately has been girls who have missed their father figures have had troubles with their relationships later on in life. Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what I can do to help her get a positive male role model.
All right. Well, no raping.
Yeah. Here's no the problem. Raping. She will always be affected by the dad not being in her life. So you can't ever take it away completely.
Yeah.
All you can do is be a positive, empathic,
that's
attuned,
what he's asking.
Wait a minute. Force in her life from now on through the rest of her life. The problem is her mom is into guys who are abandoning, and she will be sure to sabotage this relationship with you because you're an available guy. Right, Adam?
No, okay. I do get a little nerd in Clayton's
and
voice.
She's going to sabotage that, and so the mom's going to make sure that
let me poke around just a little bit. How old is your gal pal, Clayton?
29.
So she's 6 years old. You're 23. Right? She's not a ton older. She's got an 8-year-old, so she got pregnant fairly early. And the guy she's was with, is he in the picture at all?
No.
So where is he?
She doesn't know. He was very abusive, and she just left him.
What?
That's what I'm talking about.
All right. And were you a co-worker of hers?
No.
How did you two meet?
Through a mutual friend.
All right.
On the internet.
No.
Both are friends with Mr. McIntosh. And you guys met and you went out and you hit it off. And how long have you been going out with her?
About 5-6 months. Mm-hmm. And I've known her for 3 years.
Yeah. How's it going?
3 years. Now, wait a minute. How does this work that you've knew her for 3 years?
Well, I knew her for 3 years and we're friends. And
you see what I'm talking about?
Did somebody set... But you said
he was waiting around for her. He was into this.
I know, but you said you were set up through a mutual friend.
Yeah, finally he cracked the code. Finally.
Well, wait, I'm just confused. Were you initially introduced 3 years ago by the mutual friend?
Yes. Yes, we just knew this person, introduced the, and we just started hanging out through this friend, and then after a while, we just kind of hooked up.
Clayton.
Well, after a while, I mean, you
3 years.
So you liked her for 2.5 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Ugh. Well, I was finishing school and I didn't want to start anything, and I finished.
No, Clayton, no. Who are you talking to here?
She was in the throes of an abusive relationship, and she couldn't start anything.
No, not at that time. Her abusive relationship she ended before her daughter was 2 years old.
She was just free and clear for like 6 years, 5 years.
No, she dated guys off and on, of course.
But not Clay.
But not you.
No.
Why not you?
Because I just met her 3 years ago, and.
Oh, Clay, do you go to Harvey Mudd or something?
No.
It's Harvey Mudd.
You.
Which?
At the Graduate University.
Claremont. What used to be Claremont Men's?
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. He's calling from Claremont.
Yeah.
Hey, Clayton.
Yes.
All right. Here's the thing.
Yes.
Clayton, you are rationalizing things, and these are things that don't follow rational patterns. Humans follow specific patterns, but they aren't to be rationalized. You know what I'm saying? They don't make sense. And what is happening here, I can tell you what's happening here.
Yeah, but
you were into him from her the moment you met her. She was not available. She wasn't so into it. She finally sort of succumbed to this, or she had a weak moment, or she, you know, got tired of these abusive guys or unavailable guys and decided to be with a guy who was available. But she will not continue in that. Not unless she's getting a lot of therapy. And don't BS yourself with, well, I was too busy in school. That's like no one's ever had a relationship when they're busy in graduate school.
Come on. He had to beat off and pop zits. and a doodle on a PG folder for a while until he was ready. Yeah. Clayton, you liked her the day you met her.
Well, of course, or else I wouldn't be there.
Yeah, well, you haven't told, you haven't admitted. We had a five-minute conversation. You've been denying that.
You're too busy going to school.
Yeah.
All right, well, anyway, listen, Clayton, is she getting any therapy?
She has already done that.
No, she'd have to be in it for a long, long, long time.
Yeah.
And that's the only chance.
Well, look, I'm tired of crapping on Clayton. Clayton, here, and by the way, we're going to help you real fast, but I'm just saying, what Drew and I are reacting to is Clayton's voice, not so much the circumstances.
The defensiveness and the distortions, the intellectualization.
I know, but here's what I want to say. People listen to the show and they go, the poor guy called, they asked a legitimate question.
Right.
You guys jumped all over him. Where do you get that? Now, you're just listening to the question. We're listening to the voice. And for us, there's alarm bells going off in our head. To everyone who's just casually listening to the show, we're a couple of a-holes that are jumping on a guy with a legitimate question.
Right.
And by the way, who's given us no real hardcore stuff for us to believe otherwise. Now, as we start scratching around, it starts to come out, and all we need is a spoonful to fill a dam for us.
We
know what's going on.
We see this.
But we do have to explain it to people that are listening every once in a while who don't feel or
Here's
know
the
what
deal.
We know.
Clayton has been in love with this girl since he met her. She is someone with an abusive history who needs an abusive man in her life or an unavailable man.
I crap myself.
She, for whatever reason, finally has developed a relationship with someone who is available, but she's not going to be able to tolerate that. She will sabotage that. So the question of how to be a father figure to the child becomes moot because she's going to pull the guy out of the child's life.
All right.
And that's the unfortunate thing, because to be a good father figure, you need to be intimate and attuned to this child now forever.
Okay.
That's what she needs.
Clayton, treat the child as best you can while you're around her. Do not, at the six-month period, do not bond with the child. Don't take them out on outings alone and that kind of stuff. And yes, we are waiting for the wheels to come off of this thing when she needs.
And you got to stop BSing yourself about your
rationalizations.
All right.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. My wife freaks out during sex.
Which one? Do you want that one? Or this one?
That's.
This one?
Let's talk to this one, yeah. Oh, man, there's some gas and nitro.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed. You know, the other problem here, we don't have the mics we used to hold that you could take down to your...
I'm going to cram. That's done. The piston is at the end of its compression stroke.
Bro. That's good. Richard.
It's at the end of its throw.
25.
That's exhaust stroke, actually. It's a four-stroke engine. You know, it's got four strokes.
Whatever.
It's got the, it's got the intake and the compression.
Richard, what's happening there, buddy?
Power stroke.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's happening, Richard? Hey, he's calling from Detroit. You know about cars. You're calling from Motor City, right?
Oh, yeah. Calling from the D.
What's happening?
Having a problem. Me and my wife, I've known her since high school. Mm. And she was attacked when we were younger. She was raped, actually. And, I knew what had happened and everything. But now every now and then when we're intimate, she has... like a flashback or something, and
Well, here again, like our last caller, this sort of means stuff to us. You know, a teenager that gets raped.
Maybe.
Well, when you start having flashbacks, that's post-traumatic stress disorder.
Well, if you're attacked.
Yeah, but if you keep having them, it means that something happened long ago that got reactivated by the recent attack.
Probably.
So we would say sexual abuse.
Well, what happened with the attack?
Guy broke in the house and then just had his way with her. I mean,
while she was at home at her parents' house?
Yeah, well, she was living at home.
And did they prosecute?
Oh, yeah.
They got the guy?
Yeah, they got him. He was fully prosecuted and everything.
How did they get the guy?
It was a friend of the family, one of his cousins. Yeah, she knew who it was.
And she knew at the time?
No, she knew the guy.
When it happened.
Yeah, I know. At the time?
Yeah, at the time she knew him, too.
Oh, I just mean, I don't know why in my bizarre way of thinking, although I'm a guy who likes to fart into microphones, to me, you know, a stranger breaking a house and you waking up the guy on top of you is the most traumatic thing in the world. If for some reason it's Cousin Stewie from the barbecue it's 2 years confusing. Ago, it's confusing, but at least it's not that crazed. Yeah. I mean, it's effed up, but it's not effing effed up.
Unacceptable.
But again, this is Thank the family you, she comes from here.
Yeah, what's up with her family?
Oh, her family's fine. It wasn't from her family. It was one of her brother's friends, a guy from his family. And, you know, he came around a few times when...
one of her brother's friends. Okay.
Yeah.
And she got... She was... No. Yeah. Quiet down, Drew. And this is the middle of the night.
We have 1 minute. I got to solve it.
Is she
Actually,
able
it was
to...
in the afternoon. It was in the middle of the afternoon. She came home from school and...
No one was home.
No one was home.
Did he have a weapon?
Oh, he kicked in the door.
He just kicked in the door?
No, he just beat her.
He beat her?
Yeah.
What does
you don't you don't know that, do you?
No, I know. I've talked to her about it. Huh? You know,
did she get some counseling?
She's gone through counseling. Yeah, she's been.
Okay.
She's
All right. What does her dad do?
He works for a county.
Okay.
He's a
All
county
right.
worker. You know,
All right. Well, here's the deal. She's suffering from post traumatic stress disorder. It would be normal given the severity of the trauma she went through. People that have a sustained, persistent post-traumatic stress disorder syndrome usually often have some other trauma in the remote past that sort of gets re-triggered by the trauma in the present. In either case, she needs treatment. She may need medication. There are doctors that specialize in this. And, you know, if it's something that's affecting your ability to have a relationship, it's causing mood problems, panic attacks, that sort of thing, she really should get a treatment.
All right. God bless Richard for hanging in there and caring enough.
Yeah, yeah. It's okay. It's good.
All right, buddy.
Treatable.
It'll work out.
Yeah.
It's all good. Mazel tov.
But ask her about trauma in childhood, because if that trauma's there, then she really's got to get treatment.
All right. Okay. Good times. We'll be back. Well, there you go. Show is over. I want to thank everyone who made it possible. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
More macaroni and cheese, please.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.